Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. Hi. This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Allie.
I was so sad when I saw this yesterday. Euphoria star Angus Cloud, who played Fez on the show, was one of the most loved characters on that show. Euphoria on HBO. If you don't watch it or have HBO, you're missing out. I'm just saying. It is such a good show. His mom called 911. In Oakland, California, responding, they came into a possible overdose, said her son did not have a pulse, and Angus Cloud passed away at that the age of 25.
So young.
Way too young. And the ironic part is half of that show is about, you know, teenage years and drugs and all this stuff.
Man.
So it's a phenomenal show.
Yeah.
I would tell anyone to go watch it if you've got HBO and haven't watched Euphoria, seriously. But
pretty sure my wife watched it. I didn't,
it's
though.
So good. It's so good.
I don't want to.
It's not a lot of good shows out there anymore that are that good. There's good.
Yeah.
This is like next. Euphoria is next level good.
Good. Worth a watch good.
Yes.
It's about to get even better. I'm not going to lie. I hate to say it, but when something like this happens,
yeah,
the show just gets amplified because now the people that didn't watch it go, I should go watch it.
He was just the lovable like side character in that show, though. It's going to suck not having him. So. Angus Cloud, drug overdose at the age of 25. So sad.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 103.7 KISS FM, Allie and DZ, live from the AdamDeputy.com studios. Good morning.
Good morning. Buenos dias. How we doing?
Buenos dias. I'm doing good. Bien. ¿Y tú?
Muy bien. Very good. Very good.
I pulled out my yearbook the other day. Did you know I was in Spanish club?
I did.
Neither did I. I forgot.
Were you the president, the chair, the you were the treasurer.
Junior and senior year, apparently, I was in Spanish club and I forgot about it until I found my yearbook the other day and I wanted to tell you that.
And you went, oh.
I told you I knew Spanish for a hot second. Just a hot second. Then I forgot it all. Anyway,
good.
We have Ludacris tickets coming up this morning. It's not Ludacris, wow.
We got Ludacris the show coming up soon, but
wow.
Nah, we got Jonas Brothers
I'm
tickets.
Losing
yeah.
my brain. You know why I thought about Ludacris immediately? Because the fair starts
right
this week.
I know exactly where you were going in your brain. Like, you're preparing to be at Ludacris.
I'm thinking about even Shaggy and Salt and Pepper this Friday night.
Oh,
like,
snap. That's
I'm
right.
Just, everything in my mind is State Fair.
Yeah.
But Jonas Brothers are coming to the Pfizer in November. So, yes, we have those tickets at 7:45.
7:45. Don't miss it.
Absolutely. Coming up next, let's talk about recession-proof jobs. How's that?
Recession-resistant.
It'll make sense next. Going to hook you up with Jonas Brothers tickets. 7:45. They're coming to Pfizer Forum November 20th. You can't even buy them until this weekend. So we're giving them to you first.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yep, you're welcome is right. Okay, so DZ, how did you get stuck on this whole recession-proof jobs?
All right, so yesterday while we were here, I'd stepped out, went to the restroom, get some water, whatever. But as I was listening to some of the commercials that were playing on our station.
The bathroom has the radio on.
Right.
People don't know this. People don't know this. Like, that's how we know what's playing when we have to go to the bathroom. Otherwise, we would have no clue how much time we have.
Fair. Music plays throughout the entire. You walk out the hall, it plays. You walk in down the building, it plays. You're in the bathroom, music's playing, right?
So you never miss.
Never
anything.
Miss a moment. It's like we got the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Mm-hmm.
But I was listening to one of the commercials and they were talking about recession-resistant jobs. Right now, everybody's like, oh, the recession. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, recession-resistant jobs. Get into the tech field and ensure, you know, job security, blah, 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 blah. And I went, recession resistant tech? What?
Yeah, that makes sense. Huh? It's growing and growing. It's not going to go anywhere.
It's definitely
it's getting
not.
Getting bigger and bigger.
So I was like, oh, duh. Yeah, that is a recession resistant job. But then went, huh.
What else?
What else is a recession resistant job? Because over the last few years, a lot of people, we had a slight recession, if you will, with
for
the
sure.
pandemic, right?
Well, you found out real quick what people did or didn't need in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And tech we needed.
Tech we needed.
Which is why tech will never die.
I, IT ain't going anywhere.
Nope.
Right? But then I was like, what else? What else might there be? And dude, clicked in. The trades. Construction.
Yeah. There
will always be buildings being built. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a job that's probably going to be recession-proof. Mm-hmm. Whether some people lose their job or not, mm-hmm. that's going to be an industry that will forever continue to grow. People will always be able to find a job somehow, some way in that field.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
But then went, what the hell else?
You could say the same thing. Well, I was going to say healthcare, but you could get even more specific, like babies. Like you said, people are always going to be having babies.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need doctors.
I know that's right.
But you're going to need healthcare, period, right? Because we all need it. And as people are getting older and older, there's always a generation of people and young people that need it, right?
Exactly.
Where's it going to go?
Where?
Nowhere.
How?
It's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm trying to think of something that would disappear in a recession. The random fun zone down the street.
Exactly. The bounce house.
With an arcade.
Sorry, Tony.
Might not make it, right?
Sorry, Tony. Oh, and Racine.
Shots fired.
I guess. But I'm saying, like, that's one of those jobs.
A
barber. Shout out to my barber, Mondo. But at the same time, I haven't been back in a little bit because it's not a top priority. Impeding me from living my life and doing it well.
You could cut your own hair. You could live without a barber at the end of the day if you had to.
Just grow your hair out, you know?
I could live without a hairstylist. That is something I could live without. I don't want to, but I could.
You wouldn't need to go to a nail salon, get your nails done. That's not recession resistant,
100%,
in my opinion.
I don't have to do this. This is a choice. And boy, do I love my choices. 414-533-1037. I see your text coming in. Somebody said, a garbage man, because I'm a garbage man. There will always be garbage.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge point.
Only we just have to get better at recycling.
For real. We need more of the recycling,
right?
Man.
We'll take your calls and texts next. Somebody said a truck driver is recession-proof. We're talking about recession-proof jobs. Our opinion, at least, of them.
Yeah.
Because you heard a commercial on Kiss about how tech was recession-proof.
Right.
And you were like, what? And I was like, that makes sense, because we're always going to need tech and it keeps growing. It's like my kids, get into coding. I'm not saying, you know, I'm like, that's going to be something you can do.
It's a staple, like, science now for kids to teach them how to code. All these kids are coding regularly, normally, like, oh, you're ones and zeros? You don't get it? 110111? No, I don't get it.
You know what somebody else texted in? A recession-proof job, a mortician. People are going to die. People are
going to
die.
I don't mean to laugh,
Funeral business is never going out of business.
It's booming.
Mm-hmm. Let's start with our boy in Calabama this morning. Ryan from Calabama.
Well, you can tell everybody. You can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
I think your voice dropped. Did it get lower?
Hey, dang, Ryan. You good, man? Hitting the second puberty?
I'm just walking to the local Home Depot right now, trying to this morning as I'm dropping my voice.
This man.
That's funny.
He's out here going through the 30-year puberty.
Yeah. Ryan, what's a recession-proof job?
Lawn care.
Lawn care?
I could do that myself. I could do that myself.
Yeah, but a lot of the elderly don't want to do it themselves, or they've gotten rid of their equipment, so they're going to have to hire it out.
He's talking about, like, I guess businesses would always need someone to mow the lawn.
Yeah.
Commercial stuff. Nursing homes.
I'm just thinking I'd let the grass grow long. That's a socialite commodity. Like, nah, if I ain't got time for that, it's going to grow long, and then the city could come take care of it.
Ready for your fines. That's all I got to say.
Ryan, thanks for calling, bud.
Appreciate you.
Not a problem, guys.
Later, man.
Mike in Hartford said a truck driver. That makes sense, because you have to get stuff across the country.
Yeah, people are always shipping and receiving
transportation.
Stuff.
We have to move goods and food and everything else, so that makes sense.
Airline services, airplanes. If you're a pilot, you're probably not going to lose many jobs, because they're looking to hire right now.
Now, but remember when nobody was traveling and flying as much? I'm with you. I'll never stop traveling. Sarah is calling from Kenosha this morning. Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
All right, girl, we're talking recession-proof jobs. What do you got?
So my boyfriend is an account auditor at a bank, and I feel like businesses always need that.
Mm-hmm.
And banking in general, like, everybody always needs help with their money.
True.
So
yeah, but banks are so dead. When you go into a bank or drive by a bank, they're dead. Like, everything is so digital and online now. Like, I go in once in a blue moon for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I used to go into a bank all the time. I couldn't tell you the last time I went into a bank. Can you?
I could. Not that I go regularly.
Cash guy.
Nah, not necessarily. No, but when I have gone to the bank and in past jobs that I've done, I used to have to go to the bank weekly, regularly, twice a week, right? Make deposits.
Now it's all.
Yeah, businesses make deposits, I think, almost every night.
Exactly.
I know when I worked at a mall, we did.
Yep. Because cash. Cash is still around. You know what I'm saying? Cash is king.
Credit's queen.
I don't think cash is king anymore.
You think credit's king?
Yeah.
And cash is queen?
That's why everything's cashless. You go places, you got full venues that are cashless. You can't go to Summerfest. It's like Summerfest.
Yeah, you're not at the Fiserv with cash anymore.
That's true. I'm saying we're going cashless. I don't know. This is like an old, get off my lawn, by the way.
Hey, but banks really aren't going anywhere, whether they're digital or not.
They're not. I just don't think their staff is as big. That was all I was getting
at. Fair, but they need people to work.
But they need, and we need loans.
That's
and
right.
We need things like that.
Underwriters, all that stuff.
We do. They're important for that, for sure.
We hear you, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not getting quarters for my laundry anymore. I'm just saying. That's me.
What?
Thanks, Sarah. Have a good day.
You too, guys.
Later.
All right. Last but not least, Amanda is in Racine. Amanda.
Boom.
Never misses it. We're talking recession-proof jobs. Whoever texted in drug dealers, because there'll always be a need for drugs.
Chill, y'all. Chill out.
Stop.
It is too early.
You guys are nuts.
Get out of here.
You have a ringtone that says something about being a drug dealer. Now I'm thinking of that.
Oh.
It honestly is recession-resistant, though. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. For anybody that know.
What do you got for us, Amanda?
Yeah, so I work in the healthcare field as a case manager. I work with, like, the health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So I oversee, like, if people need caregivers, you know, if you need, like, bed bars, like, equipment, housing, even those adult diapers, I got you.
Dang.
That stuff never, you know, goes out of style.
You're saying there's always going to need to be people that are giving help to elderly people that need support, you know? It's like a case manager for an old person.
Yeah, Amanda's a healthcare dealer. I get it.
Yeah, right?
She said, yeah.
She's like, I got out those diapers. You know it.
Slanging them adult Pampers.
Somebody said,
I got
first responders. That's a big one.
Facts. That's a huge one for sure.
And Amanda. And Racine.
And Amanda. We appreciate you, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda.
Have a good day.
Bye. Goofy.
Yeah, very. We got to do it. Tech Tuesday, baby.
We want to do it.
103.7 Kiss FM. It's Allie in DC. And every single Tuesday, we do Tech Tuesday, where we talk about trends and things going on in the tech world. It's all brought to you by Wendy's. What do you got for us today, DZ?
Well, as we know, tech is recession resistant, so it's not going nowhere.
It's not. So we're going to keep talking about it.
So many people haven't heard yet, but there's a whole crazy rebrand going on with Twitter right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, Elon Musk purchased Twitter some time back and has been cleaning house.
I knew he purchased it and then I deleted it because I was not using it anyway.
There you go. A few people did it.
We have kisses on Twitter, but I'm not.
At 103.7 Kiss FM, you know, go ahead, hit the follow.
It's not Twitter anymore.
That's right. We can't call it Twitter.
We're on X now.
We're on X. Yeah, literally, just the letter X. So you're no longer going to see the blue Tweety bird. You're no longer going to get the... There's no longer a Twitter. It is now just called X. It has been branded as such. They put an X on the building. They've been getting in trouble for it. Honestly, there's a huge...
I think it's dumb.
I don't want to call it a backlash, but it's a huge question mark on, like, why X? What's going on?
It's not even why X. It's why did you rebrand at all? Do I go to McDonald's and change the name? Hell no, because I know what McDonald's is.
Right. To change
a business that big, to change their name is... I'm sorry.
Random? Awkward?
I mean, he's the rich one, not me, so maybe I can't give him a lesson in marketing, but my marketing soul says don't change the name of a giant business everybody already knows.
He's obsessed with the letter X.
Create something new then.
He's obsessed with the letter X. His kid got an X in the name. SpaceX, X's, now formerly known as Twitter, is now currently known as the symbol X.
It's probably sleep more than X.
Ooh.
I mean, this guy. No, I just made that up.
No, you funny, dog. But Twitter rebranded. No longer Twitter. You got to say, hey, show me that thread on X.
But I'm not on X. I'm on Threads if I'm looking at a thread, which is an Instagram app. See? Ooh. Now they're all running together.
Well, that was the whole problem because the thread originated on Twitter, now X. And then they stole the name and started their own thing. At the end of the day, Twitter is no more. RIP Twitter, it's now X.
Goodbye. It's all brought to you by Wendy's. Not Twitter or X. Just Tech Tuesday. Because Wendy's without the Wendy's app is like a Frosty without the fries. Go get the Wendy's app.
Don't hit the same without it.
And if you're on X today, have fun. I call it Twitter, but that's just me. Get off my lawn.
You got a problem? No, I just meant that DZ has your solution.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
Or he might make it worse. It's What Would DZ Do on Kiss FM.
Well, this one looks interesting. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they're always interesting, but whoever submitted this, I'm invested. Being accused of stalking, but you're not?
Yeah, supposedly.
I need more details.
Well, Ryan wrote into the show and said exactly that. I'm being accused of stalking. So a few months ago, I started liking this girl I met through mutual friends. Felt like we hit it off really well. Exchanged numbers, started talking frequently, and I felt like there was something there. So I started trying to bring her flowers, ask her on a few dates, only for her to tell me she was always busy every time. I took the hint pretty quick and left her alone, realizing she wasn't interested in me like that.
Yeah.
Haven't pursued anything further, but from time to time, we'll text and say, hey, ask how she's doing, like I would any other friend.
Oh.
Just last week, one of our mutual friends and I were grabbing dinner when they shared the shock that she's been going around telling people that I've been stalking and pursuing her non-stop.
Yikes.
Which couldn't be further from the truth. Haven't spoken to her in some time. How do you go about clearing your name when you didn't even know it was tarnished? Help me out, please. Ryan.
I already have a thought as a woman, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You tell me what you think.
No. Hold on. I'd actually love to hear your thought.
I think that even though they were friends, after he made advances and she said no, he should have backed. He shouldn't continue to send how are you texts, because now she's thinking everything's romantic.
Oh.
Like, if a guy comes at me and sends me flowers and wants to date me and ask me out on dates, and I tell you no over and over, right?
Right.
And then you drop it. But then occasionally you're like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, this guy won't take a hint. I'm telling you where in my mind.
The perception of, man, this man is nonstop.
Like,
even if it's like a few weeks in between, hey, what's up?
Nope.
You're thinking, oh, he's still trying.
He's still here. Ooh. I told him I wasn't interested like that, and he's still sending me little texts. 100%. Now, I may be wrong, but that is where my mind would go. When I think about a woman talking like this, that's probably where she's going. Like, even she has no idea he's just trying to remain friends.
Just be
she's
nice.
Thinking, well, you went through all this to date me, and I said no, and now you're just sitting. No, she's thinking he wants her.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
See?
That's not off, you know, but I disagree.
But but it doesn't mean he's harmless and probably. But.
Sure. I mean, and him going, what is going on here, means he had no clue. He wasn't even pursuing her like that. For all he knows, he's moved on to somebody else and is trying to court her.
Right.
Right? I think he's got to confront her.
Yeah.
I think he straight up got to confront her.
So awkward. What's he going to say, though?
Mad awkward.
Like, I don't like you anymore. Stop assuming it. Or why are you telling people I'm stalking you?
Hey, so I hear you're telling people I'm stalking you. What makes you feel that way?
That's even more awkward. Because then I feel like you have no social cues. Like, I turned you down multiple times and you're still sending me random texts. That is what I would think. Or if I was being brutally honest with the guy, I'd be like, you're not picking up on the cue, man.
So now he's just supposed to wash the relationship or wash a friendship, a potential friendship, when you guys have mutual friends. Maybe she's the one lacking social cues, not realizing that he's just trying to be nice.
I'm just saying she's probably uncomfortable now, because now one of your friends has hit on you that you don't want to be with, and now it's weird. Everybody's uncomfortable except him. Just like, everything's cool. I tried. I gave up. Let's be friends.
Yeah, and he's going on with his life, and she's going, no, he still wants me. No, he doesn't. He doesn't want you. He's just being nice. I think he needs to confront it and go, hey, so I hear this about me that you're going around telling people. I want to address it because that's incorrect. And I don't want to put it like this, but he might have to get charged up and be like, what is wrong with you? You know the detriment you can cause to somebody? This could be considered harassment.
I get that. You could get legally pursued by this. I think she could go, and again, take a hint. You're not picking up on your...
He said he took the hint. He stopped pursuing. He would just check in from time to time.
That's what I'm saying. Don't text her. Like, ugh.
So just don't text anything, anybody, nothing at all. Oh, you're tripping.
Not if you asked her out on multiple dates and sent her flowers and she said, no, leave her alone. No.
You just ignore her now for life? Well, because then guess what? Then she's going to start liking them. Because that's how it works.
I don't think you have to ignore ignore. I don't think you have to ignore her or him. I think you need to stop sending texts, even just general. I think that just stop.
Cut communications?
Yeah.
They didn't have much communication. They,
right?
They're
so
not
why
friends
does
themselves.
He need it? That's my point.
Maybe he's trying to be friends.
Maybe.
Or he's just that nice of a person and he checks in on all the people he's thinking about.
And if she awful that she's lying or exaggerating, then why would he want to be friends with her anyway?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. He's trying to clear his name, though. He's saying, how do you go about clearing your name?
And you say, talk to her.
You gotta confront her direct. You gotta hit her and go, what is going on? Why do you feel like I am stalking you?
Yeah.
Because you're not, she didn't tell him. Mm-hmm. She didn't say, hey, he just took the hint, stopped asking.
Right.
She never told him, from what this sounds like to me,
yes.
She never went, hey, please stop, I'm not interested. He just fake
I get it.
Understood.
You're saying it's on her to say leave me alone versus him backing off. That's where you and I are on opposite sides.
Exactly.
We're
going
to take calls and texts. 414-533-1037. DZ says, have a conversation because Ryan is being accused of stalking a friend. And he's like, what the hell? We'll talk about it next. I don't know if you saw this, but Ed Sheeran was at Soldier Field in Chicago over the weekend.
I did see that.
It was the largest concert they've ever had at Soldier Field. 73,000 people showed up for that.
Dang, that's deep.
Woo! Way to show up, everybody.
That's packed up. That's about every available seat that isn't blocked off for stage purposes.
Yeah.
You feel me?
It's
whoa.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
You got a problem?
You got a problem?
You got a problem?
You got a problem?
What, you got a problem?
No, I just meant that DZ has your solution.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
Or he might make it worse. It's What Would DZ Do on Kiss FM.
All right, so Ryan wrote into the show, and the problem is?
He's been accused of stalking.
Mm-hmm.
Met through mutual friends, started liking a girl, pursued, took the hint that she wasn't interested because when he asked her out, she would say, I'm busy, I can't. And now she's going around telling friends that he's stalking her, harassing her, basically, and he's trying to figure out how to clear his name up.
All right, well, Saucy Sandra is in Milwaukee this morning. Let's see what Saucy has to say. Good morning, Saucy Sandra.
Good morning. Hey there. Hey, my friend.
Hey.
Are you ready for this difference?
I don't know. I don't know which way you're going to go on this. I'm loving to hear this.
What do you think, Saucy?
I am going to say you do not need to clear your name at all. Your real friends know you and know your character.
True.
And the ones that want to believe that, it's like the trash showing themselves out. So you're good. You have nothing to justify or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You're good, bro.
Yeah.
And Ryan's overthinking it.
Maybe.
Way overthinking it.
Maybe.
I get it. I get that feeling of, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. No, they have to know the truth. They have to know the truth. Well, unfortunately, we don't get that luxury all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot less effort to just blow it off and know your truth.
Just blow it off and live your life.
Yeah.
I hear you, Saucy.
I mean, what? This girl is nothing, really.
Right.
There's so much better out there. Like, okay, let her have her day and let her say her things.
Am I the only one who feels like men make enough advances and you're like, leave me alone? And when the guy's still texting you, you're like,
that.
What the
but
hell?
But she had to, she
that?
Has to say, leave me alone. And it doesn't sound like she ever did that.
The turning down all the advances wasn't enough. Like, that's where this is why I get so pissed.
It's
like,
a lack of clarity.
I know, but that's where I'll come in and I'll say, you got to remember, sometimes people are slow and they don't get that. And you got to be straightforward with some people and say, listen, I'm not really interested and it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you're a cool friend and everything, but I'm not interested in you that way.
Exactly.
I just say, how
technically
awkward.
That woman's problem.
Ooh.
And it is awkward. But
no,
unfortunately,
listen,
we're put in so many awkward positions.
Sandra, this is why it's awkward, because he hits on you and he hits on you and you turn him down or you avoid it, right? And then he starts reaching out and he's like, but I get it. Like, I took the hint. Like, I'm just trying to be friends now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like, now she's sitting there going, well,
this guy's a weirdo.
Well, you pursued me once. You're going to keep pursuing me. We can't be friends.
You're saying you want to be friends, but I don't believe it because every other interaction was you hitting on me. That's where I'm
I concur with that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Us as women, we do feel that way. Like, hey, no, you already went one way. It is what it is. I'm not interested in that. And we're going to ghost you or block you. But the other thing is, is why wasn't this girl blocking him if he's stalking her so bad?
Because they're in the same friend group and people don't know how to confront each other and tell people what they think anymore.
She never
She never technically rejected him. Mm-hmm. She was just like, oh, I can't. Oh, this,
exactly.
Oh, that. She never technically went out direct and said, nah, I'm good. Welcome. We're just friends.
It's all about communication. 100%.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Sandra.
Appreciate.
No problem. Have a great day, guys. Much love.
Love. Bye.
Somebody said, what if the roles were switched, Allie? You wouldn't be saying that. That's not true. If a woman was pursuing a man over and over and he turned her down, at some point, like, I would be embarrassed to then be like, let's just be friends. Like, at some point, I'm still trying to get with you. I'm not trying to be your friend, and you know it. And a dude usually is going to be like, well, come on.
Some people might.
Can screw around and not dare, man.
Somebody else hit the text, y'all. Yeah. They said he should text her and apologize for not taking the hint and that it was not his intention to harass her. I don't like that. I don't like that because he, in his brain, wasn't harassing, and now he's going to apologize.
But you can't change the way someone feels or the way you made someone feel, right?
So what is he going to apologize for, though?
Making her feel like she's annoyed with him. Gina's in New Berlin. I'm saying there's all kinds of things I've apologized for that I was like, I didn't do anything, but I made them feel bad, so I'll apologize.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. Gina, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think this morning about this dilemma?
I think with the way that everybody texts, I mean, I don't. She has to get off her high horse and think he's like stalking her. I mean, she could just be friends. I mean, if they're friends in the same friend group, you can't. I mean, you got to text. I mean, unless it's like texting every hour or at odd hours. But if it's between like 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. and he's texting,
That's business. He could be just conducting business as usual.
Maybe. Yeah.
I love it, Gina.
Maybe she's got him low on the roster. I don't know.
Ooh, he's on the C team, so he ain't getting no love like that.
She doesn't want to get rid of him yet. But she doesn't want to talk to him right now.
He's not on the roster. I think we can all accept that.
He's not on the roster. The friend roster.
He ain't even on the friend roster.
I don't think
he is. If her car breaks down and she needs a ride, then she'll text her.
Maybe. Just maybe.
At the end of the day, whoever texts it in, all of the problems that are discussed here are a result of poor communication.
That feels accurate.
Fair enough. Thanks, Gina.
Thanks.
Bye. It's about to happen. Jonas Brothers tickets. Before 8 o'clock, we've got them for you. 103.7 KISS FM. They're coming to the Pfizer Forum, and we're hooking you up every day this week at 7:45.
I can hear you screaming. You got a chance. Yeah, you can win.
I'm so excited. And we're going to have another chance for you to win tickets to see the Jonas Brothers as well. And I'll tell you about that when we give away the tickets.
Wait, what do you mean?
It's like a bonus chance.
A double up?
It's like you can try to win tickets before you can even buy them to see them at Pfizer.
Right.
And then I'll also tell you another secret way. A secret. I don't know if it's a secret. It's another way you could win Jonas Brothers tickets. You'll just have to wait for that, though. Sorry. All right. Coming up next, Am I the Jerk? It's going to be awkward in here. Get ready. Kiss FM.
FM. I still think you're a jerk.
You get to be our moral compass.
No, wait. You're a jerk.
It's time to find out. Am I the jerk?
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Oh, boy. This is a little awkward. Somebody wants to know if they're the jerk for breaking off their engagement after their fiancé lied to them.
Excuse me?
Hold on, though.
It is awkward, and I like awkward. Let's get awkward.
Okay. Dave wrote into the show, and he said, I listened on my way to work and never thought I'd be emailing in. You can always email us, amithejerk@1037kissfm.com.
Mm-hmm.
He says, my fiancé took a trip with her kids to visit her dad. He travels for work and lives across the country from us. When he's within a few hours, she tries to go see him since she doesn't get to see him all that often, only a few times a year. I found out after she got back that her ex-husband was there as well.
Oh.
She said it was the only way she could take the kids and grandpa really wanted to see them. He drove separate and left early than her and took the kids with, but he did stay in the rented house with all of them.
Oh.
I trust nothing happened, but the fact she didn't tell me about this, I found out after. She says she was pressured to have kids there and was trying to keep everyone happy and not upset me. Am I the jerk for being upset about this? I asked for the ring back and am lost on how to proceed. It hurts bad, but I want to know, should I be as upset as I am? I do trust nothing happened, but the dishonesty. A heartbroken listener. Dave.
Oh, Dave.
Well, don't say that you trust nothing happened if you're this upset. It
and
sounds like you don't
believe
that.
You asked for the ream back. You know.
You're in your feelings, boy.
Okay, we're on the same page with that one, dog.
Yeah. He's in denial about how he feels to begin with. Like,
yes.
Let's start there.
Yeah, I think him being honest, he's definitely kind of lying to himself and trying to make himself believe it.
Yeah.
But I ain't believing it.
But this is co-parenting, man. This is why I say I don't like dating people without kids.
So he wants to know if he's the jerk for
breaking off the engagement after she lied to him about the ex being there.
That's tough.
Is he overreacting? Is he the jerk?
Well, I think he's within reason to be upset.
Sure.
Right? Why not tell your fiance up front, oh man, wouldn't that be something you want to share? Bicker about with your person now? Oh, my ex is going to be there with the kids. I'm not looking forward to it, but it's for the kids.
Not if you know he's going to take it personally and think something's going on. This is kind of what I meant about the co-parenting, is that when you have a co-parent, you understand this person's around and we're not having feelings usually for each other. We're just dealing with our kids.
Around but even if, on the family trip, though?
If someone comes in without kids, though, and they're watching this, they're thinking, well, you're with your ex. You guys want each other. It's like, no, we're just co-parenting right now. We really don't.
Right.
I'm not saying there aren't exes that are...
Do get back together and all, do... Right.
Because if you had some kind of connection to begin with, you could refine that with somebody.
And when you got kids involved, it's always a possibility in my head because you want that best quality of life for your children. And if you figure it out together, bet. And if you don't, you can do it apart. Amazing.
This is the thing, though. But if I have to deal with my ex all the time, and I know he knows my family, and we were married for crying out loud, and maybe they were. And
right.
This that's guy true. Was part of her family. And now they're broken up, and that's okay, but they have kids together. So it seems weird that he's staying with the father, ex-father-in-law. But it's really not because they were married at one point, and these families were merged at some point.
We don't know if they were married.
Fair.
Together,
I should say. Together, married is even important.
Together enough to have children. Because, the marriage isn't necessarily the end-all, be-all importance there. But why? What I'm stuck on is why not tell him? If you think he's going to get upset, don't you think somebody would be upset more later rather than telling him on the front end? Get him upset. Get him out the way. Maybe Dave would have came on the trip then. You know? Not that.
Just to be controlling and watch.
Just to be there. Just
to make sure she's not doing anything.
You know, just to be her man. Right? Because he's their father. I'm not taking that. He's their father. Right?
That's
being
the
there,
thing.
Being apart, I understand.
The guy's not going anywhere. The ex is not going anywhere because they have kids. That's why Dave's got to get over it.
I'm torn, yo. Okay.
I'm telling you, Dave. It would be annoying if I had a guy getting annoyed that my ex was around when I have kids with the guy. Like, I can't change that.
Right.
What do you want me to do?
How?
That's why, as like a co-parenting, I'm like, no. This guy's, Dave's totally overreacting. He's looking too much into this.
Okay. I think he's within reason to be upset. I feel like he was bold to end the engagement over that. Right?
That was a lot.
But he must be feeling some type of way. He trusts nothing happened? I don't think he believes that.
Hey, there's something about a woman's intuition. Maybe he's got a man's intuition.
Men's intuition?
Maybe he thinks.
It's a thing.
I do think Dave's is a jerk, though. I think he went too far. I think he needs to chill out.
For sure.
Until he has some proof something's going on. I don't think he needs to be breaking off engagements. Because she was avoiding the confrontation because she knew he was going to be like this. She was right because he called off the engagement.
It feels like she hid something for a reason, whether it was because she didn't want him upset or she felt like he was going to overreact and boom, look at what happened. I think it would have been so much easier had this gone on the front end and we wouldn't have even worried about it. You know what? I'm going to say, I don't think he's the jerk.
You don't think he's the jerk.
I think he feels something and he's got to trust his intuition. He's feeling his feelings, and if that's what he felt like he needed to do, bet. You guys were not married and now would be the time to cut it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take your calls and your texts next. Jonas Brothers tickets coming up less than 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Set the timer, right?
10 minutes!
Okay, who's the jerk?
103.7 Kiss FM.
I still think you're a jerk.
You get to be our moral compass.
No, wait, you're a jerk.
It's time to find out. Am I the jerk?
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Well, Dave broke off his engagement because his fiance went and took her kids and spent some time with her father. But the problem was the ex was there. Mm-hmm. He didn't know that. So he's very upset that the baby daddy was on this trip with her. He's like, she lied to me. She didn't tell me about it. I trust that nothing happened, but the dishonesty.
He trusts that nothing happened, but he's not trusting her.
But you can't say, I believe her, but she lied.
That sounds weird.
Pick a side.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
They don't go together. But anyway, let's go to Bella in Kenosha this morning. Good morning, Bella.
Good morning.
Hi. Hey, Bella.
Bella, it's better than yours.
Is Dave a jerk for breaking off his engagement after his fiance lied about being with her ex and the kids?
So, I do think he was a little bit dramatic. However, I don't think he's a jerk. You got to have trust, right? Like, right. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do I think it was a problem that the ex was there? Absolutely not, right? It's the fact that she lied.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, that's where the trust gets lost. That's fair.
Right.
He feels misguided. He feels misguided by the person he was choosing to spend his life with. And I was going, mm-hmm. Is this the right decision? He getting cold feet early. Mm-hmm.
Somebody texted in and said he's looking for a way out.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, maybe.
Well,
maybe.
She gave him one, I guess, right?
Boom. That part, Bella.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, might not
be. I don't know. I just don't understand why you wouldn't tell somebody unless it was a big deal.
Right.
You know, and she didn't want to have his reaction. Well, let him have his reaction.
She didn't tell him because she knew he couldn't handle it, and then it caused more problems. And now, clearly they have not proper communication because she's lying to him to avoid hurting his feelings, which is a disaster waiting to happen. And now the trust is broken, and here we are.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right, Bella, thanks for calling.
That was probably a good idea. He broke it off.
Yeah.
Starting it off, said not the jerk.
Good day, everybody.
You too. Bye. Later.
All right, Shay is in Greendale this morning. Good morning, Shay.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Bella said not the jerk for breaking off the engagement. What do you think?
I mean, Bella has some valid points, but here's the thing. I think he's a jerk because this is dealing with kids and the whole co-parenting, like Ali said, it's harder than a lot of people know about.
Mm-hmm. Your ex is always going to be there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's always going to be there. Guess what? The umbilical cord was not cut between you two until that kid is 18.
Oof.
Sorry. That's just what it is.
That is kind of true, though. That is kind of true. You got to co-parent until they're adults.
It's like, think about it, Shay. You know, you go somewhere with your kids, maybe a game or a sporting event. Mm-hmm. Your ex is going to be there. Is your boyfriend going to have a problem? Your fiance going to have a problem with it? This is life.
I get that.
This is where the co-parenting, they're not a match at all, man. Because he's taking he's taking it too personally. And that's why I'm like, if you have kids, date someone with kids because they get it, that your ex is around whether you like it or not. And they don't take it personally versus someone without kids. Sometimes they get in their feelings because they haven't been in that position yet where you have to deal with them no matter what. Yep.
No choice. It's not a choice. It's not a luxury. It's not that I want my ex here.
And just because I'm nice to my ex doesn't mean anything's going on. It means I'm doing it for the kids.
I hear you. I hear you. Like, I think Dave is feeling like they're doing family things. And he's the family now. He feels like they literally just took a family trip with the father-in-law.
Where he's coming from. He has a valid point of being mad about the whole lying thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, how do I put this nicely?
You don't have to.
It's just that this is what his life is going to be no matter what. The dad is going to be there no matter what. And here's something that he should bring some, what's it called? Happens to him is that, you know, his future wife's father is probably in a good standing with the dad, you know? And if he has enough understanding for him to be allowed to be at the house as well, then that must mean there's good, healthy boundaries there.
True.
Like, he wouldn't be allowing that.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay, Shay.
Even if you don't like the ex or they don't have a good relationship, I'll say it right now. My dad's very polite to my ex and they get along just fine. Doesn't mean my dad loves my ex.
Yeah, that part.
But do they get along just fine on family things? Yes.
The cordiality has to be there,
man.
Yeah, for the kids.
For the kids.
For the kids.
Put the kids first. And then I think that's what Dave's going to have to realize, that there's kids in this predicament. You got to do what's best for them. You're adults. You got to do it in the background. You know, have your argument talk it out. Communicate. You're adults. But there's a lot of stuff that you're going to have to sacrifice.
He doesn't get that, Shay. But Shay said,
"Hold me listening, Dave, because I just spit some knowledge up in there." Okay.
Good. Ding, 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 ding. Hey. On that note, Shay says yes to jerk. Have a great rest of your day, Shay.
Thanks, Shay.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Later.
Somebody said, "But why lie?" Because he can't handle it. That's why he broke up with her over it. That's why. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's why.
Is she assuming that he can't handle it?
Yeah. Assuming maybe it led to the
What does assuming make?
Whitney is in Milwaukee, though, and she's going to be our tiebreaker today because Bella said not the jerk. Shay said jerk. Good morning, Whitney.
What do you say?
Good morning.
Well, jerk or no jerk, you're the tiebreaker.
Decided.
Not a jerk.
Oh,
dang.
Not a jerk. Okay, go on.
Right.
I just feel like a relationship is based on the foundation of communication. And if she's not comfortable at this point to be upfront about what she's doing, then that marriage is not going to last anyway.
Doomed anyway. They shouldn't even be engaged, right? Right.
Exactly.
There's so many red flags in the air right now flying everywhere. About,
pew, pew, pew.
It's like, why are you engaged to begin with? I actually can get behind that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I just don't think he's a jerk for it. And, I mean, at the end of the day, I understand the whole co-parenting, mm-hmm. but why did the ex-husband have to stay at the same place?
That's what somebody texted in, and they said, and then not telling the fiancé, that's ridiculous.
Yes.
Like, why is he... I could see you're driving, maybe you went up north, and you're like, I'm going to spend the night and leave in the morning. Like, that's where my mind went. But, again, I can agree, because if somebody lied to me, it'd be on, right? So yeah. I can get behind that as well.
We're all agreeing and disagreeing at the same time
like,
here.
I'm like, he totally freaked out overreacted, and I don't think they're a match, honestly, but at the same time, she should have just told him.
Yeah.
And if he couldn't handle it, then they're clearly not a match.
Not going to be a match. Do we understand both sides? Yes, sure. Do we like both sides? Nah.
No.
Why didn't he go?
That's
was he invited? He didn't give
us
nothing about that. Why didn't he go?
True.
Well, if Dave's listening, because he said he listens and he never thought he'd be writing into Am I the Jerk, and he's got to be listening right now. If you're listening, anonymous Dave, we need an update.
Please.
Yes. We hope you've listened to everyone's questions, and we need answers to all of them.
Mm-hmm. Did you give the ring back? We need to know.
Am I the Jerk at 1037kissfm.com. Follow up. I need information.
But today, you not the jerk, Dave.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Whitney.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Later.
All right. Well, there you go. So, not the jerk. Not the jerk. Look at that.
Wild.
Who would have thunk?
Not me.
Woo, not me. Who would have thunk? Look at us. We have to give away Jonas Brothers tickets. I promise less than 10 minutes. So.
What you think?
Let's do it.
Right now?
Yes.
Bruh.
And if you don't win them right now, I have a second chance for you to win Jonas Brothers tickets. I'm going to take it up a notch.
Oh, yeah. The secret.
The secret.
There's a secret.
You can win both. I don't give a damn. 414-533-1037. This is your first chance to win two tickets to see the Jonas Brothers at the Pfizer Forum November 20th. They're coming to town. Caller 30. You're going. 414-533-1037. Somebody's going to see the Jonas Brothers. You can't even buy the tickets yet.
It's not even a pre-release because they ain't released. Like, nope. You just winning.
Can't buy them till Friday. We've got them right here at the Pfizer Forum on November 20th. Evelyn. What did I just call her?
Eleven?
So
I think
sorry.
You said 11.
Evelyn, I'm
Stranger so... Things over here.
Evelyn, I apologize. In Milwaukee this morning. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning.
How you doing today? What you up to, Evelyn?
Yeah.
Driving to work.
Boom.
Where do you work, if you can tell us?
I'm an intern at MMSD.
Ooh. Big flex. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, when you get in today, you can tell everyone you're going maybe to see the Jonas Brothers if you answer one question.
Okay.
Are you ready?
It's going to be hard-hitting.
I'm scared.
It's a hard-hitting question.
This one's tough.
How do you spell Jonas?
J-O-N-A-S.
Woo!
Hey!
Hallelujah.
Hey, I can't spell. I was nervous.
I would never do that to you. I would never put you in a position, Evelyn, that you couldn't answer the question. I don't think. Yes, I would. But you know what I mean. You're
Evelyn.
Going to see the Jonas Brothers!
You're good!
Awesome.
Have you ever seen them in concert?
I actually have.
Yes.
I think 2019 they
yes.
came to Pfizer.
Yep, good. You're
yep.
a true fan. I like hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're ready to go again. Well, you're going, you and a friend. We're going to get your info, okay?
Awesome.
All
Thank
right.
you.
And DZ, that's not the only way to win Jonas Brothers tickets this week.
What's the secret? You said a secret?
There's a secret.
What's the secret?
So if you don't win them on the show at 7:45, which we'll do again tomorrow, you can go to our website. We are also, on top of the tickets to the Pfizer, we are giving away a trip to go see them anywhere in the country that you'd like as well.
Dang!
So you can go enter on our website, 1037kissfm.com, and that's just a backup.
We flying you out to go see the Joe Bros too?
Yeah.
On top of you see? Getting tickets here every morning at 7:45?
Exactly.
Done.
Two chances to win.
Did you hear what we just said?
I heard it.
I mean, so we heard it.
You're going to be back here tomorrow to try to win them to go
That's
to the
right.
Pfizer, but then also make sure you go enter to win them at 1037kissfm.com.
Wild.
Right there on the front page, it says, enter to win a trip to see the Jonas Brothers.
Sounds like a good time
it's
to me.
It's a good time. 103.7 Kiss FM. Good luck.
Hi.
Yo. Hi.
This is on the TV, to the movie screen, and everywhere in between. This is the Hollywood Dirt with Allie.
Well, Drake's going to be in town later this week.
Show is.
And if anyone knows his room number.
Where he's staying, Allie would like to know.
Here's my personal cell, 414. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was about to be like, chill. Turn your mic off real
for
quick.
Drake, I might give out my personal cell on the air. I'm not going to lie. No.
Hey, yo, you heard it here first.
Drake spent $1 million to buy Tupac's custom-designed ruby and diamond ring at an auction. Mm-hmm. The most valuable hip-hop artifact ever sold at an auction.
That's crazy. It was at the Sotheby's hip-hop auction. A ring for $1,000,000?
But it was owned by Tupac.
Yeah, but a million?
No, $1,016,000. Get it right.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
Does this extra $16,000 matter once you're at a million? Like, yeah. Just give him $1 million and call it a day.
I think that was the tax. He paid $1 million. The $16,000 was taxed.
It was estimated to be worth $300,000. So Drake at this auction bought it for three times what it was worth, Tupac's ring. Literal ring that goes on your finger. So he spent $1 million on it.
He immediately upped the value of something just by buying it. I mean, and it was already iconic, right? Now, do you think the value raises because he's the next one to own it?
Because Drake owned it.
Or do you think it depreciates because now Tupac wasn't the only person to own it?
No, I think actually you're right. It might up the value that Drake has had it.
Right?
Because Drake's such a big enough name in hip-hop that, I mean,
I feel like it'll appraise for higher, too, just because the purchase price that he bought it at.
Yeah, because I would want it even, like, oh, I already wanted it because Tupac owned it. Now Drake owned it. Now I'm really in.
Right, right. It's engraved and everything, too.
Because
it said, Pac and Dada, a nod to Kidada, his fiance, at the time when he passed. So the inside is inscribed and everything. Like, it's a really well done. He customized it by hand. Well, not by hand, but he customized it, worked with the jewelers himself. Pac did.
It was he wore during his final appearance in public at the 96 MTV Video Music Awards.
Wow.
So there you go. Drake bought Tupac's ring for three times what it was worth, $1 million, which now makes it the most valuable hip-hop artifact ever sold. As we enter the anniversary of hip-hop, by the way, 50 years.
August 11th.
August 11th. It all comes together. 103.7 KISS FM, Ali and DZ, live from the AdamDeputy.com studios. Coming up next, I had a very special, special FaceTime call last night with multiple people.
Excuse me? How come I wasn't on this FaceTime?
Sorry, you have nothing to do with these people.
Oh, not that special. Got it.
But they're very special to me. I'm going to tell you who I was on a very long phone call with last night and what came out of it.
Okay.
Because I was horrified by the things I was told on this phone call.
Oh, you always do this, man. Now, and you ain't going to tell me until what?
Until after this song. Hey.
Of course.
I'll tell you what happened next, Kiss FM. Have you ever gotten in trouble at work, DZ?
Duh.
Well, hold on.
Me? In trouble at work?
You're such a liar. You have not. Have you ever gotten in trouble at work for drinking?
Oh.
For drinking too much, and then you get called into the HR office. Has this ever happened to you?
Yeah, not at work.
Okay, 103.7 KISS FM. Well, apparently, you're one of the only ones. I'm being dramatic, but
tell me more. What's going down?
Sally and DZ, and last night, I was on the phone with a couple of my best girlfriends from high school. We stayed in touch. The homies.
Sure.
We go way back. Like, I was on the phone, we were FaceTiming, and I was showing Owen and Hudson. I'm like, do you know how long I've known these girls?
I've known them longer than I've known y'all, too.
They call me Allison. That's how long I've known them.
And they said, who's that?
I've been to their parents' house. We go way back.
The few homies that you could get to their houses, like you could get to your own.
Exactly.
The squad. Four flats on the Cadillac. Well, that's how far back.
We're pretty good about getting together every so often, even though we all live all over the country. One's on the East Coast. I'm in Milwaukee. One's in Chicago. We're spread all over. There's one in California. So we were like, we got to do a girls' trip.
Of course.
We've got to do this and stop talking about it. So we're going to set up a FaceTime call. And on that FaceTime call, we're going to book a trip and we're going to do this.
Dang.
So we
committed.
Well, not book, but plan.
We gonna get together and discuss. Right.
So last night was that call and I jumped on and I said, how's it going, ladies? Haven't seen you since we all met up in Chicago a few months ago. And my girlfriend goes, oh, well, I got to tell you a story.
She said, girl.
And then for the next 30 minutes, we listened to this crazy story that my girlfriend told about how she was overserved at a work function and made a total fool of herself to the point where she got called in HR and had to do all this damage control. She goes, you guys, I'm not going to say what she does, but she is in a very very, very respectable job.
She's a very professional person.
She has no business being this drunk at a work function.
Like, yo, that's not her fault, though.
Well, it is. Listen, she said she got it. She overdrank. And the next thing you know, for 2 months, she's been trying to do damage control. She's like, I thought I was going to lose my job. She goes, I didn't drink for weeks. I was so freaked out. She's like, I don't know what I did. I was overserved. And I drank so much wine. This doesn't happen. Fine. So she gets done with her story, and then my other girlfriend on the FaceTime call goes, oh, yeah? Well, listen to this one. And I go, what? And then my other girlfriend, and I'm looking at all these successful women on this call, and all of them have HR stories about how they drank too much at a work function. I go, does everybody have a story? I go, you know what? Hold on, guys. I go, what?
Then Allie went, actually.
I said, hold on. I got one from when I was in my 20s. But hold on.
Hold myself, sir.
And we're all going around telling these stories about being called and having to do damage control because we drank too much at some kind of work thing now or a long time ago. And I thought, does everybody have one of these stories?
Yo, I feel like I might be the only one then.
And I need an HR person to tell me, yes, but the problem is, if you have employees, I would think, drinking, they could always spin that back around on you. This is where it gets, you know, you could be like, well, you didn't have enough food for the employees, and you were serving alcohol, and now you're there's all kinds of, you know, ways you can manipulate it. But
yeah, I mean, because again, like I said, it ain't necessarily your fault if you're served alcohol at a work function.
Well, my one friend said they told her she just wouldn't let it go. Like, she was talking about something and it went on for like hours and hours and hours, mm-hmm. like to the point where people were just over her.
Yikes.
Did it. Yeah. So I don't know. I just was wondering if you hadn't ever been called into HR for a drinking issue.
I had not.
And
not that I can remember, at least.
Well, apparently it's just us.
Yo.
You can call and tell your stories if you're brave enough to, because both of them were like, we thought we were going to lose. I didn't think I was going to lose mine, but it's happened. I've seen people get called in. We're like, mm-hmm. oh, you were overserved. And, you know.
Well, something I try to remember.
You made a fool of the company or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, this is not the representation we would like to embody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'd like to have a sit down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm conscious of that. Yeah. Like, very, very conscious of that. Because with me, I'm good. Like, if I'm having a couple drinks, chilling, mm-hmm. good.
You're fine.
I'm fine. I'm good. Until it's way past the point mm-hmm. and ain't nobody realize it, not even me. And then all of a sudden, I am hammered.
Yep.
So I remain conscious of that and go, maybe not drink then. Maybe mm-hmm. only one. Maybe. Especially work functions, because I don't need them problems.
Uh-uh.
I don't need that HR call, dog.
Uh-uh. No. She's had months of anxiety now from this one moment where she drank too much. We're going to take your calls or your texts, 414-533-1037. If you're brave enough to share it, you better. My girlfriend's did it. We won't say where you worked.
What's your HR nightmare story?
Yeah. Did it involve alcohol, or was it just you getting called in thinking you were going to lose your job and freaking out for months over it? We'll talk about it next. 414-533-1037. All right. Whoever texted in, DZ, you're not the only one who has not gotten in trouble for drinking at your workplace. I've never drank at a work function. DZ didn't say he didn't drink at a work function.
No, no,
he
no,
said
no,
he's
no.
never gotten called into HR for it. Let's be clear, okay? Get off your high horse over there.
Technically, Brewfest was a work function.
Ding, ding, ding.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, our job takes us to many a places. But I'm sorry, there are a lot of very professional. You ever seen lawyers get drunk? You ever seen doctors when they let loose? Ooh. You ever seen it?
I've seen Grey's Anatomy. I know exactly what doctors are like
Thank
when they
you.
Out here loose.
Thank you. No, but seriously, I was talking about how my girlfriends and I were having a catch-up FaceTime to plan a fun trip together. And it turned out one recently got in trouble for over drinking at a work conference and got called into HR, and then it turned out everybody had a story.
It was at the conference in when you guys had hung out, right? So since then, y'all hang out in June.
2 months ago.
She has been reeling about this.
Reeling. So we're talking about work stories where you got in trouble if you were drinking, if you're brave enough to tell them. And we're not bragging about being alcoholics here.
No.
We're just talking about these women were embarrassed by their actions.
And nobody said they were alcoholic. Nobody said anybody's an alcoholic. You were just... Maybe a little overserved.
I don't want to glorify being overserved at a work.
Never.
Because I know the anxiety and stress she went through afterwards.
Of course. Who wouldn't?
But we can entertain ourselves. Carrie's in Milwaukee this morning. Carrie, good morning.
Good morning.
How we doing today, Carrie? You going to talk to us about either HR bringing you in because you're drinking, or just HR in general?
Were you overserved?
So I would like to say no, but maybe I was. we went out after... after working third shift, we went out in the morning. Uh-huh. Bar opened at 6. We were there bright and early.
Yo.
Having a good time, celebrating a coworker's birthday party. And what had happened was, there was a
fun game of beer pong going on. And, you know, those can always kind of get out of hand.
Especially at 6 a.m. for sure.
Beer right. pong? Okay.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, when I showed up, I knew I had hurt my knee at work, but I didn't know it was really that hurt. Uh-huh. So I enjoyed, you know, the beer pong. And one of my coworkers got way out of hand and ended up falling out, took out a table and all this stuff.
Yo,
and So I go to work the that following night after sobering up, of course. And
everybody's got to show up after the awkwardness.
Oh yeah,
right. Yeah. I couldn't even walk. So whatever I did to my knee, I really did it good. And end up going into the ER and get it looked at. And I've got a strained LCL. Right.
Mm-hmm. Ow! How long ago was this?
Well, it wasn't. It was a little while ago. Mm-hmm. It was about 7-8 years ago.
Okay.
Yikes.
But. So I go to the doctor. I'm put out of work. I got to go through physical therapy. Uh-huh. I'm on light duty and all this stuff. And like 2 weeks into this, I get pulled in and suspended pending because
you were drinking.
No. Somebody said I posted on the internet that I was at this party and I got like I was highly intoxicated and I fell and I took out a table playing beer pong.
They blamed it on you.
They blamed it on me. Yeah. And they tried to terminate me.
Dog, that's past HR.
After everybody was drinking at a work. Oh.
Yes.
Wait, was it a work function or did you all just go out after? Because it does make a difference.
Yeah, well, they considered it. They considered it because it was all of us.
Like, it was everybody that worked.
Everybody that worked together, yeah.
So it wasn't work sanctioned.
The managers, it was, right. It was our birthday party. We're just going to have fun, you know. And we did have fun.
A little too much fun.
But I didn't fall. So I ended up winning the fight, and
I was
everything
gonna say,
worked out in my favor.
It didn't sound right to me that I was like, they won that? So right. No, of course not.
No, I had to prove it. Well, yeah. I was ready to prove it.
There's so many ways. I mean,
you got to be ready to defend yourself.
I don't want
to
come into the HR people, but they all know what I'm saying. There's ways to spin it around. There's been alcohol at a work function.
Don't get people to
hold on.
Don't give them the knowledge. They don't get to know it.
Right.
Come on now. Don't snitch on everybody.
I checked my Facebook. I never posted anything. Yeah. And I actually talked to the bar owner who had video from the night before, from that incident. And I was ready to go to battle, but I
got
didn't
to.
Have to, luckily.
Just like, bring it on. All right, Carrie. Well, thanks for calling. What a story. Wow. I didn't know where that was going. I didn't know how it was going to end, but boy, was I invested.
We appreciate you, Carrie. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
You too, guys.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.